the disciples, hey, listen, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. And Jesus gives that admonishment because Peter steps up and he says, oh no, Lord, be it far from you. And the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan. And he nails Peter right on the nose. Peter cared more for the worldly things. In Peter's mind, this was the Messiah who was set to be the king. And yes, by all accounts and means, Christ will one day rule supreme over this world. He rules now. We just don't see it. But one day it'll be a very literal sense where we can see him. That day will come. But that's not what he was going to do first. Because what is the purpose of a kingdom without any people? And we needed salvation. We needed to be saved and redeemed in order for that to take place. And the Lord goes on, and we just preached on it recently, so I won't preach it again, about those that lay down their lives. They're the ones who get to take it up. They're the ones who get to have it. Well, what good is it for us to gain the whole world but lose our soul, the Lord asks us? What's the good of it for us to have every material thing we could ever want to express ourselves in every way our creative mind will come up with, just to, in the end, spend eternity in hell? Would it not be much better for us to accept Christ and obey him and then work hard and do the things and receive the blessings? Would it not be better to give our lives to Christ just to find a life so much more abundant than the one we could have made ourselves? I mean, there are some clever people. There are some hardworking people. They build fantastic things. They do amazing things. You think from the medical field all the way to these different things. And, you know, my dad's talking to doctor, and be honest with you, he feels a bit overwhelmed sometimes. And he likes a doctor that can put it down to his level. He had a doctor he was telling me about today, just made it very clear to him, brought it right down to his level. And he likes that. But there are some brilliant minds out there that can do phenomenal things. If you're going to do phenomenal things, surrender yourself to the Lord. And those phenomenal things will be even more the better. No matter what it is that our lot in life is, it will be better with Christ at its head. But they don't seem to quite understand. Of the three Gospels that go into what we are about to read, all of them put zero time. I want to say this right. Neither one of them describe a singular event between this and the next, and what we're about to read, between his admonishment and what comes next. They all go straight to it. So if we're looking at Luke chapter 9, verse 28, we'll read, and it came to pass about an eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, or Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and they were awake. I'm sorry, I'm reading from a different Bible, and the writing's so much smaller. You have to be patient with me. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. They didn't get it, so the Lord raised the stakes. He made it bigger. He brought two witnesses in. And when the two witnesses didn't seem to quite click with Peter, the Lord himself spoke to them. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. We live in a world today filled with people that look at God and try to make him what they want him to be. They look at Christ and they want Christ to be who they want him to be. They want him to be American. They want him to be a get rich quick a proprietor, right? A name it and claim it, a genie that we can wish upon, a star that we can wish, an imaginary friend that gets us and understands us and just wants what we want for us. That's not who he is. He came with a specific purpose, and that was to die on the cross for our sin. And he's telling them, yes, I am the Messiah, and this is what comes first. They didn't want it. They wanted the kingdom to come first. They wanted that. They wanted the joy of walking around with him, seeing the miracles. It just goes to show you how easy it is to misinterpret what God has to say for us. When we become selfish in our interpretations, when we want the Bible to say what we want it to say and we accept no other interpretation of it, we make a mistake. We must look to what God says and understand it as it is. It is too often that from pulpits and in Sunday school classes and in music and songs where we misinterpret the Bible or we take small portions of it to get it to say what we want it to say. We can't do that. To misinterpret the Bible, to teach it wrong, is to commit an offense against God. We need to make sure we have it right. And that comes from hours and hours of study. Anybody who says, oh, well, you know, I got it real quick and nobody quite sees it the way that I do. And I've got this divine understanding and knowledge. Mercy, that's how cults happen. Do you know how many cults there are where people are getting hurt and the word is being twisted for some pervert's will and dreams to be done upon other people? You know how often that happens? Now, how many people have created these weird fantasy Christianities like that lady on the TV who believes that she gets to go to heaven as often as she wants to during the day and there's a Christmas world up in heaven and she gets to go and meet Santa Claus? You know how many followers she has? There's a reason why she's got thousands of people watching her. Now, I'm assuming some of that's going to be because people are laughing at her. But there are people who take her seriously. When we do stuff like that, God's going to do something. We're going to pay for that. When you see people out there trying to twist and turn the scriptures, turn what Jesus had to say for their own power, I mean, is that not what we were looking at a couple weeks ago when we see that where Peter was promised or the church was promised the keys to the kingdom? And what do they say? Oh, well, Peter's the foundation of the church. How many times in Scripture do we see that it was Jesus himself who was the founder of the church? Who's the foundation stone? Literally called the foundation stone of the church. And yet we're like, oh, it's Peter. Why would they do that? To justify their own grab for power. So that I could sit on Peter's throne one day. And I can have it my way. And I can say what I think it is. You know what? For decades, they sat there as churches. They sat there as one big fraternal order of debauchery. They sat there with somebody on that throne saying, well, this is what God says. God says you can't get married like that. God says this doesn't exist. God says that's not real. And what happens? Science comes along and proves that wrong. Oh no, what do? You get a new pope up there. Oh, well, you see, he misunderstood. We can't get married this way. Well, now we got a new pope. He says you can get married this way. Makes you kind of start to feel as though God can't make up his mind on his own creation, huh? To grab for power and look at the people with power. Look at what they do with it. It is our responsibility to interpret Scripture correctly, not in a selfish, how can I get my way kind of way, but in a what does God really mean kind of way. The fact of the matter is, no matter how plainly he was putting it, they weren't getting it. I'm going to die. 3 days later, I will rise again. Then I will come. So what we see here in this transfiguration, what we see here in this change, Matthew records that it was 6 days. Mark says it was 6 days. Luke says it was about eight. Dr. Luke gave us a guesstimate there. That's a contradiction in the Bible. Listen, if you say it was 6 days, and Sister Mary says it was 6 days, and you ask me, I go, it's about 8 days. Two people know what they're talking about. One gave you an estimate. That word about tells us someone's guessing, and that's Dr. Luke. That's about 8 days. I give or take. It was about a week. It was about a week later. They go up. And when they're up there, Jesus begins to change. It says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering, sparkling. It was so very white that it strained the eyes. Mark 9, verse 3, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. We couldn't bleach a garment this white, nor this pure. The way Matthew says it, Matthew chapter 17, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. We are talking a brightness coming off of the Lord. What we know is that God was that Jesus in this form was completely man. He hungered, he thirsted, he felt pain, he felt discomfort, hot, cold, whatever. He felt everything we did. His body functioned the same way ours was, but deep down inside him, underneath the surface of his skin, he was all God. But in that, he had to reel it back. I was talking to somebody this week or last week, talking about that part in Scripture where it says that he grew in wisdom. It was a sign of that coming out. As you look at him, oh, well, there's more there. It slowly had to come out. If you had a child who was 9 years old, who knew all the things that Jesus Christ did and could do all the things that Jesus Christ did, that would blow the lid too early, wouldn't it? There was so often where Jesus said, whoa, it's not my time yet. And there was always the pushing off until God's ordained time for him to go to the cross, for him to begin his ministry. Those things that he did, the miracles, the teaching, the starting of the church, they were all planned out from the foundation of the earth. This is when you have a five-year-old walking around shining as bright as the sun, able to heal and do all sorts of miracles. That's going to draw some attention. And by the way, that was the purpose of the miracles. That was the purpose of the things. Not to give man power, but for us to see God's power. No man had ever done it before. No man was able to do it after the way God did. And anybody who was able to do those things were only able to do them because God put his hand on it. God did it through them. It's never us. These people who get up and they pride themselves. Well, you see, we had a healing ceremony and 15 people were healed. Really? How many of them did you grow the left leg longer than the right leg so their back would stop hurting? And I so often, well, my back hurts. Oh, well, you see, what happens is your left leg is longer than your right leg. So give me that right leg and abracadabra, hocus pocus, and Holy Spirit, and just by suggestion of the mind. See how that's longer? See, I can do it too. You see how they're perfectly even? I'm just going to stretch that out. And oh, no, now I'm in trouble. That's how they do it. That's the game. Or we'll sit there and I'll hire 15 people off of Craigslist. Hey, we need somebody to do an odd job, and that odd job is to come up and look odd. And then, poof, you're healed. Those are charlatans. Those are jokesters priding themselves on their deceit, pretending something that they couldn't touch. When God heals people, when we see Paul do it, Peter do it, when we see these people healing throughout Scripture, it is not the man himself, it is God working through him. Well, it says that they're gifts. That's a gift, isn't it? That's a gift. Every time I get to be a part of God doing something, that's a gift. But they didn't sit there and have the ability to indiscriminately do things. God gave them the ability. So we see here again this transforming outwardness. All of a sudden now we can see the holiness from within coming out. And for those men, it was a very distinguishing moment in their relationship with Christ. There was no question his power. At least there shouldn't have been. God let them see the deity of Christ. God let them see it. For a moment as it spilled out and they looked and they saw the brightness of it. I love the descriptions that each of these men had to say. One of them was, it was glistering. You look up at the ceiling. That ceiling was one of the first things that caught my attention when I walked into this church. When I think of glistering, I kind of think like that. Bright, shiny. You know those sparkles? I don't know who decided to put sparkles up there. They did not have people like me in mind. You know? Glistering. One, his garments were whiter than we could ever make a garment. The other one, it was as white as the light is. Seeing that coming out of him, what more could we question? On top of all the miracles that he had already done, he was no magician, he was no illusionist, he was no great and learned doctor. He was the great physician, who by commanding and rebuking, he could fix any ailment you had. Turning even water to wine. Calming the storm. Telling the storm to knock it off. And it calmed down. I have a hard enough time getting kids to calm down. We were at camp. And everybody was excited. Everybody's, hello, hello. Nobody was listening. Everybody, I can't remember what we were yelling at. You're going to have to tell me later. I can't remember what it was. Was it the chicken? It was the chicken thing, wasn't it? Xander says, yes, it was the chicken thing. We started strapping rubber chickens onto kids' feet, and I completely lost control over it, caught the conversation, could not get their attention. Does that surprise you? I looked over at Brother Hugh, and I go, this is my fault. I created this scenario where they can't hear me now. No, it's hard enough to quiet down a group of people, a group of children. Could you imagine calming a storm? We haven't developed the science quite yet for that to stop a storm. His holiness was blinding, proving to these three disciples that this was no ordinary man. Any doubt must now be put aside because this is somebody extraordinary. This is somebody holy. This is somebody different. Of all the other followers, of all the other leaders, of all the other people that would rise up to form their own religion, nobody had something like this attested to them. I mean, we look today, people who claim to be of Jesus, claim to be leaders like him, we're not given anywhere near what Christ gave his disciples. You know, I think of Joseph Smith. Man, Joseph Smith. He was hung. Well, some say he was hung, some say he was stoned. But I always learned he was hung. Why? Because he kept stealing married women. Now, I've read the Bible, you've read the Bible. That's a no-no, right? If you're married, you stay with the person you're married to. You don't just go and go. Polygamy is another thing. Just so much. But no, I've got a new idea. I've got a new way of doing things. And hey, isn't this fun? Why? So he could grab power. So they could dilute the role of women in the relationship, the role of women in the family. Jesus was different than any other person who ever led a singular religion. Remember what Galileo said? If this is real, there's nothing you can do about it. But if it's fake, it's going to be just like that other guy. They'll go away. He's never gone away. And he's never going to go away. Oh, believe me, the devil wants people to stop talking about Jesus Christ. He's done that for different societies all throughout the creation of man. And just been there to distract man away from God, make him forget. And people want us to forget. We're not going to forget. There will be a remnant for the Lord to call home. There will always be people who proclaim his name. He is different. He is no ordinary man. we see here that God also provides two witnesses. Who? Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Everybody knows Moses. I mean, if you're going to bring somebody to prove a point, let's bring Moses. Everybody knew Moses. Moses was the fabled leader of old. He was the one that they loved. He was the one that they always called back to between him and Abraham. Oh, Moses, he gave us the law. Moses led us through the wilderness. Moses was the man, except for when they were following him, in which case their ancestors were just completely burrs in his saddle. But oh, how history tends to change. Oh, Moses, we loved Moses. The Pharisees would talk about Moses. So many would talk about, he gave us the law. So who does God send down? Moses. Now, who else does he send down with him? Elijah. Oh, Elijah's the preacher. Elijah's the one who came and proclaimed so much and did so many great works before Israel, communicating to them what it is that God has to say and what his will is and for his desire for them to repent. And he was the one who did these things. Oh, they loved Elijah. They had a lot to say about Elijah. So they sent Elijah down to say something. And what is it that we see that they were discoursing about? What was it they were talking about? Who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. What was the debate? Oh no, Lord, be it far from thee. Where was Peter? See, Luke here is the only one who tattles. Normally Luke is not one to put anybody down or show people in their bad light. They were asleep. They were asleep. But what was the conversation? How the Lord's going to die? And I could imagine Moses and Elijah giving the Lord encouragement and worship and just exalting him. And they missed it. Now, how much of the conversation, we don't know. But we do know that they were brought there to hear this conversation. So I could only assume they heard something. And it should have reinforced what Jesus had to say. But still the confusion took place. See, you can have the greatest of preachers, the greatest of witnesses stand up and proclaim what the Bible says, and people can still refuse to understand it. They can still get confused by it naturally. It still happens. And you proclaim these things and you point out dangers, and people still don't quite get it. I remember years ago before I came here, that when Beth Moore started to become more of a popular person among Baptist cycles. And of course, when she first started out, I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. And she stuck to women's circles, and then they started putting her up there, but it's not preaching. And then they started giving her books. Well, she started writing books, and what a wonderful thing. And for some of us, we picked up a couple of those books, and we go, uh-oh. And we start hearing her speak and we go, uh-oh. And then you start to see her pick up big venues and whole churches are involved and now they're all sitting there and she's preaching and teaching in front of them and we go, uh-oh. I remember saying that years ago. She's really supposed to be preaching. Oh, she wouldn't do that. She'll stick around lady circles. And I go, I don't think that's the way that's going to go. Because if you've already got false doctrine, which she had, and if you've got kind of a disregard for all of the Word of God, which she did, eventually the fame and the money will take you places you ought not go. And now she's not even Baptist anymore. I think she went out and did her own thing now, completely turned her back on so many different doctrines so she could ride a more popular wave. And we see that happen with so many other different people, men, women, where they stand up and, this is what I think. And preachers like me, we get into the Word and we say, that's not right. Don't listen to that. And yet those people will still get thousands to buy their books and thousands to show up to their speeches and their sermons. They will still have thousands of people who exalt their name, even though you hold the book up and you say, They're wrong. They're wrong. And then you get into these debates. Well, they might not be right about everything, right? Like I knew a few people with this Legionnaires and G-Theater Conference, the Reformed Baptist movement, right? Well, they're not perfectly correct, but there's a lot of things they're not wrong on. Did you know that there's a lot of poisons that have some good vitamins in them? Got some good vitamins in them. But you know what they still are at heart? Poisons. There's poisons out there. I bet they got vitamin A, C, D, all the vitamins that you need, right? But they're still at heart poison. And how much poison is okay? I don't know. But it doesn't sound like something I want. In a world where they tell you that too many eggs is bad for you, too few eggs is bad for you, a glass of wine is supposed to be good for you. Oh, no, a glass of wine is supposed to be bad for you now, right? You should eat asparagus. You should never eat asparagus. Romaine lettuce has the most nutrients. However, it's filled with E. coli. Don't touch it. That's the world we live in with the food and the things around us. Do you really want to play with theology that way? I don't. To wink at or to ignore false doctrine is a problem. Moses and Elijah, what was their job? Their job was they were there to reinforce what Jesus had to say. Because they were getting creative. They were getting creative. Oh, no, Lord, you're going to come. We're going to take over Jerusalem. We're going to kick out the Roman government. None of those things were God's plans. How do you know? Because the Roman government didn't fall until a little bit later. Oh, she was on decline during this time, but God started his church. The Lord started his church right at the right time when all roads led to Rome. When the world was so connected and everything was so combined and cultures were able to mingle together better. I'm not saying it was a utopia. I'm just saying that God built a system of being able to spread that out, and we used it. We used it when we spread out and we had to run under persecution, when we had to run under threat for our lives. We used that system set up by that nasty government, that bloodthirsty government. We used it to our advantage, to God's advantage. We have to hear God for what he says, not what we want him to say. Because that's right where we got into trouble too. Just as we were beginning to move around and move about, all of a sudden it was no longer it was no longer salvation by grace through faith. What was it? It was salvation through baptism. And that baptism had to be from one of our guys. And all of a sudden, now it's not so much just salvation, but it's you need baptism and the burning of candles, baptism and prayer, baptism in this and baptism in that. And I'm not picking on one particular one. As the Protestants begin to kick out from them, they maintained a lot of those false doctrines. Why? Because God said one thing, but it didn't work to our agenda. When it comes down to the Word of God, we don't have an agenda. We obey God's. We go by His. So Moses and Elijah, they come and they speak of the death of the Lord. I put these two together, and I'm pretty sure I'm right to do so. That one was because of the other. To show to us, and show to these disciples, who the Lord is. As we continue to read, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles. Let's make three tabernacles. One for you, one for them. That's not the intention the Lord had here. It was not to start Elijah or Moses worship. That was already a problem. It was not just, let's form tabernacles. Look at this amazing thing. And Peter reveals the heart of who we are. When we can see something amazing and try to put our own meaning to it. Oh, Elijah must be a heavenly body too. Moses must be a heavenly body too. Let's worship them. That's not the point. He missed the point. He saw the sights, but he ignored the words. So what has to then happen? What has to happen is now the Lord comes down. We see this cloud come in. And Peter, he's terrified. These men, they're terrified as the cloud comes over them. And the voice of the Lord comes out from the cloud. This is my son. Hear him. Hear him. In Bible study, one of the most important tools you can use in studying the Bible is letting Scripture interpret Scripture. What does that mean? It means I scour through the Bible and I find any and all inference to this thing. That's where you let God tell you what God meant. Right? Let's look at what we were looking at last week where, okay, it kind of looks like he was going to build the church on Peter, and Peter was going to be the head, and the sins he forgave would be the sins that would be forgiven in heaven. And we would sit there and we would say, okay, well, it does kind of look there. However, when we look through scriptures, we see that Jesus was supposed to be the foundation. Jesus was the builder. Jesus is the head. And we see, well, okay, well, how about where it's, how about this whole thing with the keys of the kingdom and what he forgives? Well, there's only one mediator between God and man. There's only one who could bring us remission for sins. There's only one, and that is, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, we can go straight to the throne room of the Father himself and proclaim to him our need and worship him openly. Because of him, we have the right to do that. You don't need a priest. You don't need someone like me sitting there hearing your sins quoted out, going, oh yes, today I did this and today I did that. There was a book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, by a man named Charles Chiniqui. He grew up in the church. He became a priest at a young age, worked his way all the way up, and he would tell you the things that these priests did. When they talked about the sins that were committed, when people would come in and make their confession, he talked about the jokes, he talked about the body conversations that would take place around these sins, and this was one who rose high in the ranks of the church, and they would talk about just some of the debauchery, the things that happened with the nuns. That is what happens when you put man between God and man. That's what happens. Whenever you see that in a church, when someone puts authority upon themselves that belongs to God, perversion takes place. And people get hurt and nobody says anything because man is the ultimate authority in that organization. There can be one mediator. What does God say? Listen to Jesus. Listen to him. Now, of course, there's many cute avenues around that nowadays. In modern Christianity, I was sitting last night, and God said this to me. He said that I'm to go out and start a great brand new work. And I'm supposed to put myself at the head of it, and I'm supposed to have 15 wives or 15 husbands, or we're supposed to smoke this or do that in our religion, and what a good old time we'll have. That's not what the Lord would say in the Bible, so I'm pretty sure that's not him. It's not him. I was calling around, and I don't know how this stuff happens. It's getting worse and worse. I called somebody out of Flint. And I was looking things up, and I started getting calls from the church line. Because that's what I was calling out. I was calling out of my phone number, and I was getting phone calls back through. And I picked it up, and you just hear this robotic voice. Are you looking for landscaping opportunities? We have this, and we offer this. Please call. That's a robot. I can hear you. You're a robot. Another person called seconds after that. Seconds after I hung up on the robot, somebody calls up. Deep Indian accents. I am fairly certain you are not from Mount Morris. Now listen, I've got no problem with an accent. Know a lot of wonderful people with an accent. Know even more people that would think I have an accent. No problem with where in the world you come from. But sure enough, it's a robocall. Well, what company do you represent? Oh, we represent a company that creates opportunities for businesses and links people like you up with those businesses. Oh, click. I got text messages and emails. I made a mistake. I called the wrong person somewhere. And it just set off a deluge of these services wanting to hook me up with local plumbers and local landscapers. And pretty much if it could be done outside of a building, they could represent them somehow for a nominal fee, of course. I know you're... Okay, I know how this sounds. Thank you. I know how this sounds. Thank you. Nope, that sounds weird to me. Thank you. Oh, yes, we are from this local company. They gave me the name of a company sitting right in front of my computer. I typed in the name of the company. Had nothing to do with anything around Mount Morris. Nothing. No business under that name anywhere near Mount Morris, but we're right here in Mount Morris. Oh, really? What do you think about that new ice cream shop just opened up? Oh, I haven't had a chance to go over there yet, but I saw a big old line. Click. What a joke. I can hear it. I can hear the falsity. You're saying things that don't quite add up. No. But yet there are people today. Well, this is what Jesus said to me. You sure? Because even the devil himself presents himself as an angel of light. And I hate to say it, I would say the vast majority of people who hear Christ just have a wonderful imagination or ate pizza way too late in the evening. Well, would you say they're a liar? Yes. I do not believe that whatever that lady's name is, I really do not believe that she gets caught up into heaven and she gets to go to Christmas land. You think she's making it up? Doesn't it sound made up? Sounds made up to me. I mean, the devil's got a lot of power, but that's a weird one for him to have, right? To be able to pull somebody's spirit out of their body, leave the body alive, take them off to a magical land that he's created, called this one Christmas Land, where she gets to sit and play card games with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound more made up than it does an illusion created by the deceiver? No, these are games people are playing. These are games. I saw a lady one time, she might as well have been a psychic, but she blamed, instead of saying that it was spirits that she was speaking to, it was Jesus speaking directly to her. I'm telling you what, that's not how my Lord communicates. Well, how do you know? Because the things that she's saying, he's saying, isn't what he said in the past. They contradict him. And I know this, God does not change. And I don't care how special you think you are, he ain't going to give you a special revelation that contradicts the word. You want to hear the voice of God? You need this book. You want to hear what God has to say? You need this book. Somebody asked me one time, they go, so can you hear the word of Jesus? Can you hear him speak to you? And I go, no, but I can read it. They looked at me. I'm not sure if they thought I was crazy or if I had said yes. No, but I can read it. There's no new visions. There's no new word. We were given this and told to read it and preach it and teach it till he comes back. That's what we were given. If we start getting other missives, other letters, other interpretations, other visions, then it's because something has changed. Something has gone out of control, right? I'll go to meet up with somebody if I'm running 15 minutes late. Oh, I hate running late. I hate being late for stuff. Not that wasn't the first time y'all, or one of the first times y'all met me, but I'll be there in 15 minutes. Now, why am I late? Because I am finite, I have made a mistake, I have lost track of something, something happened outside of my control. None of that happens to God. If the plan has changed, then it's not God. Because he doesn't change anything. And what you have and said, well, you know, you've got to leave things open. You got to have faith. I don't have to have faith in a person. As a matter of fact, I have found that that is how you end up getting hurt. Putting faith in people as though they are God. Now, I believe in people. I've got great friends. And I'm forgiving when people fail me. But we have to admit, we should not be trusted on the same level as God. That's how you end up hating everybody. That's how you end up mad at everybody. That's how bad stuff ends up happening in your life when you trust people like that. What does God say? Listen to Him. And if we're going to listen to Him, you need to read. You need to read. Well, you see, I put the Bible under my pillow, and don't do that. You're going to get a sore neck. Yeah, but I had this wild dream. It's because your neck hurt and your brain was complaining, so it was messing with you. Just don't do that anymore, and the bad dreams will go away, right? There was this one lady, she told me about how the Lord speaks to her at night, and I was in her apartment, and I was fixing something going on, and she was going on about how the Lord comes in, dead relatives comes in. She had two or three times put in a work order saying that her home was haunted. And I'd come in and she'd talk about how her love for the Lord and how the Lord speaks to her things and tells her secret things. And as I'm working one day, I have to move her coffee table. And I'm not, I guess I am curious. I got to be careful. I'm that curious, but I'm better disciplined than this. She had a stack of pills on her thing, moved them. Oh, she had stuff on that table. She had stuff on that table, probably should have been locked up. And she had some stuff on that table I'm not entirely sure you should be mixing. And as I moved that table, there was a bottle of Jack Daniels underneath the table. And I go, oh. I go, that's not a ghost. That's Jack. That's not a ghost. That's Vic Odin. That's not a ghost. That's oxy. That's not a ghost. That's the party you are throwing in your bloodstream. That is not any. We need to see things for what they are. Creativity, chemical imbalances, or the devil. And I don't think the devil does half as much as we think. I don't think he has to anymore. I think he set the machine. The machine is running. I don't think there's a lot he's got to do. He probably works up higher in the governments and things like that. He probably ain't sitting next door at your neighbor giving her false dreams of Jesus. That could be the demons, that could be the drugs, that could be chemical imbalances, it could be attention-seeking behavior, because my oh my, we've never seen attention-seeking behavior in religion before, have we? We do, we see it. Trying to steal from Christ, trying to steal from God. But in the end, we need only listen to Him. And after all, is that not who they saw? Matthew chapter 17, verse 8, and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Mark chapter 9, and suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only only with themselves. And of course, in Luke 9, and when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. There was nobody left but Jesus. You know those people that we see on the Bible Network, those people that we see in the podcast, those people that we see, the movers and the shakers and the MacArthurs and all these fellows who get up and they misinterpret the Bible. These popes and priests and bishops, these fathers, these whatever they want to call themselves, they'll go. And pastors, good pastors, will go. They don't live forever, and neither does the congregation. We go. The witnesses who bear good witness of Jesus Christ, we will go. And Lord willing, as long as the rapture hasn't taken place yet, more will take their place. And we're seeing that today, young men being called into the ministry. Church is growing. We're beginning to see that in certain areas. Those will pass, new will come. But in the end, it'll be Jesus only that lasts the test of time. Oh, these political pundits that we see today, they think they're in charge. They think that they can do things their way. The religious leaders of our day, they think they can do things their way. But it's Jesus only at the end of the day. It's Jesus only. We need to be sure of what the Bible says, rooted firmly in the Word of God, so that we are not blown apart or blown away by our own creativity or our own imagination. Rest assured, Peter was caught up in the old Jewish way of thinking of who the Messiah would be. There was a misunderstanding there. The fact that he would die for our sins was made very plain by a couple different prophets as they preached, and even David through his Psalms proclaiming what Jesus would do. It was there, they just didn't like it. They wanted the king. They wanted the one that would lead them to victory, chase away the Roman government, and make them a world power. But that's not the Jesus who came, at least not yet. The Jesus who came would be our Savior first. That is who we listen to. That is who we look to. And we need to be glad for the day he came to earth. Glad that he came. And it's hard to be glad for this, but we need to praise him for dying on the cross for our sins and raising again, showing to the world exactly who he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for salvation, grateful for you. Lord, I pray this, that you help us ground ourselves firmly in your book. Help us, Lord, not to take liberties. Help us, Lord, not to get creative. But Father, instead, help us to pour into that book. And Lord, just learn and eat it up and be again just grounded so that nothing going on in this world can shake us. That no false pretending of the imagination could grab our curiosity. But instead, Lord, teach us the truth. Lord, help us. We need you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.